Tiny Climate Challenge. Today, we're talking about plastic surgery, cutting plastic out of our lives. Episode 4.
I'm Mayela Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible,
Hey guys, welcome to Tiny Climate Challenge podcast, and I'm super excited to be here with you today to introduce you to my very best friend. We have been friends for
a long time. Many years.
Yes.
Don't date me.
All right. And I won't, although we did just celebrate your birthday and it was fabulous.
So good. So I'm April Powers. Most importantly, I'm a mom of two boys. I'm also a serial entrepreneur. I have an Airbnb called the Hollywood Beach Retreat. I'm working on writing a children's book and having a blog around allergies and gardening and living friendly with the earth and cooking and making a lot of things from scratch. And my core business is around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I go into companies and help people work better together by managing their differences and hoping that everyone will treat each other really, really well, inclusive of their differences. And so I'm all about people and the planet, and I umbrella that under my company, Humanity Evolution.
I love that. So basically, you're about sharing the love.
Sharing the love, whether it's at the Hollywood Beach Retreat, through my cooking, or through my coursework that I deliver for my clients. Absolutely.
Well, I feel it in everything that you do. I'm really excited that you agreed to be the first participant of the Tiny Climate Challenge. Why don't you tell us, what was your challenge? What did you decide to focus on?
I decided to focus on single-use plastics in my dining experiences. I love food. I always overorder and end up taking food home. For our birthday dinner tonight, we did a vegan meal at Matthew Kinney's Food, Plant, and Wine, Food and Wine. It was really, really good. And I really tried to make a point of not overordering and not having to get every last bite in, and just devouring and savoring the small bites and small plates that we had so that we wouldn't waste food, and B, wouldn't need a takeout container because I didn't have any with me. So, but that's not always the case. And so I think for me, the thing that I'm most devastated by in my daily plastic use, not daily, but regular plastic use, is takeaway containers. I do reuse them, and, you know, I overcook and tend to eat my leftovers. I'm one of those people who happens to enjoy leftovers, and I enjoy sharing. So I do use my single use containers sometimes and share things instead of giving people my Tupperware. But I really don't like taking them anymore. So, you know, you and I were at that podcast event, and I think you have a picture of me with just, you know, I had to go find some vegan food because they didn't have food that I could eat there. And I was just really disappointed with how much stuff I came back with that wasn't reusable, or they even have styrofoam, or it was just bizarre combinations of things. And we know that we can't recycle anymore, send a lot of recyclables to China, and we don't have space for them. They're just going to landfills. So my tiny climate challenge was to try to remember to bring my reusable glass containers, bamboo utensils, and or metal straws to the venues that I was going to. I had them in my car, but remembering to bring them was harder, I think, for me, because it would be rattling around. I put together kind of a to-go pack for myself, and I learned a lot about from that.
Awesome. And I love how you even got your kids involved in this.
Yeah, no, they have always had reusable lunch boxes from day one, partly because I'm cheap, right? Like you know, you do the basic math and you say to yourself, If I have to buy a, and I'm not a Lunchable person, obviously, but if I have to buy a Lunchable versus a metal box and make my own, roll up my own turkey rolls and cheese over time, that is going to be way more cost effective than ever buying anything prepackaged or in the cafeteria or anything like that. So, and wasting Ziploc bags, that just never made sense to me financially. And yeah, it's a little bit of an upfront cost, but over the long haul, these things last so long, especially those, and I don't know how you feel about silicone, but those silicone bags now. But yeah, they had won something at school, so I used their bag that they won at school for a fundraiser. And I filled it with glass containers, two different glass Tupperware containers that did happen to have plastic seals. And then I had bought or had already had, all of these are things that I already had. And I had bamboo utensils. I kind of stopped depending on straws too much mm-hmm. When I saw where that was going. So sometimes I had the straw and I found I really didn't need it. So I didn't repack it. I would say I was probably 30% successful and came up with some strategies to be, you know, in this short amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Because these are tiny climate challenges and you have to kind of evaluate yourself where you are. One, I didn't like the glass rattling around in my trunk, so I had to find a little pocket area to have it. I probably need two packs in the car, not just one, because there's a wash and go factor. So if you use it, but don't wash it in time, but don't replace it.
Right.
I needed to be a little bit better about that.
Well, I think that's great because that was one of the questions that I had for you. Well, actually, I have several questions for you, but one of them is what would you recommend to help make this challenge easier for other people?
I think you have to have two bags. Depends on how many people are going to be with you, right? I'm thinking of what am I taking home myself? Mm-hmm. But I think you in your car, you just have to be ready to rotate and have two mini bags with a medium glass reusable container and utensils. Mm-hmm. And why utensils? Because sometimes you're going to a place where they just have only plastic utensils and only paper napkins. And I think it's nice to have like a cloth napkin in there for yourself. We like to cut up old t-shirts. And
that's brilliant.
Yeah. So if you have an old cotton t-shirt or old clothing, you can use that, either put those as rags or you can turn it into a reusable napkin for your reusable bag. Mm-hmm. And if you're good at sewing, absolutely all those clothes can become the bag to hold your Tupperware and or glassware in. And so, yeah, that would be my tip, is to cut up some old t-shirts as your napkins and bring your own utensils, because a lot of fast casual places now are, you know, they're using things that they're saying, oh, this is corn plastic
or it's compostable. Yeah.
And it's not anymore.
Right.
So I didn't add the cup to the bag only because I tend to have I'm a waterholic. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I tend to always have a reusable water bottle with me. And I don't generally, unless there's something really amazing going on there, I don't tend to buy sugar water mm-hmm. or basically beverages.
Or other drinks.
Yeah, or other drinks. With the exception sometimes if they have like really good kombucha on tap or, you know, that.
Yeah.
What was that from Seabird? They had that kombucha root beer float.
Oh, yeah.
That with coconut ice cream, that just,
sounds amazing.
I couldn't resist that. And I also couldn't take it home. So if that weren't the case, I'd probably bring a reusable water bottle in there as well.
Yeah. So I'm like you, I carry my reusable water bottle everywhere and my bamboo utensils. I keep those in my purse.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And there's products that you can, it's to-go bamboo or to-go-ware, I think mm-hmm. is what it's called.
That's what
bamboo.
I have.
Yeah.
And it comes in its own little sack with what's that hook thing called?
A little carabiner
clip.
Yeah.
Carabiner clip. Mm-hmm. I have two of those.
Yeah.
I don't know how I ended up with two, but.
Yep.
And I'm a minimalist. I don't always carry a purse. Ended up reducing everything to a men's wallet.
Oh, wow.
Like a little, very small, I'll show it to you, man-style wallet, so that I'm really minimal in what I'm carrying around.
Right.
Not that that's environmental, it's just I'm trying to reduce my load. But when I do carry purses, that's a great idea to have that in there.
Yes. And what I wanted to add is that I recently had a speaking engagement, for San Diego Green Drinks. Hmm. When my speaking engagement was over, they gave me a very nice thank you gift. And it was my own reusable tumbler with my name on it.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yes.
It was gorgeous.
Yes.
I thought, I was like, you would not buy another thing. Like, well, how did you end up with that? So that is so amazing.
It is. And so because I love it so much and it has my name on it, I carry it with me everywhere now. And so now I have my water bottle and I also have my own reusable tumbler.
But that doesn't get heavy?
No, because the water bottle just happens to fit inside the tumbler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like the base of the water bottle anyhow.
What's the green drink situation? What is that?
They are a professional networking group.
Oh, okay.
Where they just host happy hour type events once a month. It's open to the public. Anyone can come and they invite different speakers to come speak on different environmental topics.
That's very cool. Yeah. Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. So I thought that was a wonderful speaker's gift. It's really special. And like I said, I carry it with me everywhere. So it certainly encouraged me to be more sustainable in my own practices.
And you've used it. I've seen it.
Yes.
I have evidence.
All right. So what did you feel was easy about your challenge and what was difficult?
Easy was the initial motivation. I was motivated by shame.
That happened to me too.
And a podcast. So that was easy. It's people say, are you an environmentalist? Do you believe in climate change and all of these other things? And it's not about that. It's, do you want pollution? Do you want a dirty planet or don't you? I mean, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but do you believe in pollution? Yes or no?
I certainly
do not. I do not either. So not to try and sway anybody or get too political, but I don't believe in pollution. I think there are easy things that we can do to keep the planet cleaner. I don't want to have huge landfills that we have to figure out. And so my motivation was strong. I have children. I want a better planet for them and my grandchildren, et cetera. But execution was not as strong, right? It was harder to remember. And then you get out of your car, you're half a block away and you're like, oh, do I go back for that thing? You know,
yeah.
You have those moments where you get lazy, you know, and you just go, oh, never mind.
Or we want the convenience of it. So
Yeah. Or you say to yourself, I'm going to, like we did today, I'm going to under order and just eat what I need, which is what we should all be doing.
Yes.
Actually, that was my biggest lesson in all of this.
Yeah.
Is under order. You can always ask for more, but don't, you know, and I've noticed in myself the last couple times that I did eat out, because I do travel for work, I really ordered something that I thought, that's not going to fill me, but I'm going to order that, eat it, and stop there. And I ended up just having appetizers and being fully sated. It was really interesting.
And it's also, too, what I find is I like to ask before, you know, if I do overorder and I want to take my food home with me because I want to, you know, it's so delicious, I want to eat it later, I will ask for them to, like, what type of container are they going to put it in? And if they show me a styrofoam container and say it's like a leftover quesadilla or something, I know you're vegan, but it's okay. In your case, a vegan quesadilla, I'll ask them to put it in some aluminum foil,
something
that's
so great.
I can recycle afterwards. So I try to be really mindful about what materials are being used and whether or not I really need them. And then there's other times where I've gone, you know, say like you want a coffee and then you go like, well, okay, what are they going to put it in? And if it's a styrofoam cup or something, then I just forgo the entire coffee.
Well, because you're not only polluting the planet, you're polluting yourself every time you heat up styrofoam and eat it.
Right.
That freaks me out.
Yeah. I mean, that's an extreme. I don't even drink coffee.
But, yeah. or tea.
Yeah. I'm not a caffeine person. I just kind of made that up. But the point is, it's important to be mindful about, you know, the different containers that are out there and that basically that we have agency over, you know, what we choose to accept and reject.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many times when I've just gone like, no, I'm not going to get that because it, you know, is going to have a negative impact and I don't want that on my conscience. And I also don't want it, you know, I don't want it to have a negative impact on our planet.
my failures in this challenge definitely weighed heavily on my conscience. I knew we were going to have to talk about it. But even more so, it's like you put that out there for yourself and you really, you know, you aspire to be the best. And I kind of walked away from this saying, you know what? I wasn't 100%er. I accept that. I own it. I'm just glad I did something
absolutely
different than what I had done the day before. And not that I hadn't done it before, but I did it with more of a conscious mindset and with some intention.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So you kind of touched on this a little, but let me just ask, how do you feel now that you've completed the challenge?
I feel like I need to go do it again. And I feel, I can't say that I'm proud of myself because, you know, my personality.
I'm proud of you.
I know, but with my personality, I feel like I should have and could have done better. I'm shitting on myself.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I am. I think also setting an example for my children, you know, I'm really conscious of that. We talk about not wasting water for the earth and turning off lights and all of these other things. But are we having the conversation about ordering food and food waste and container waste and, you know, making it a habit of bringing their reusable containers to a restaurant and having it not be a thing or be embarrassing to them. And they've always been, you know, the kids with the reusable lunch containers, even when some of their friends didn't have them. But so I don't think it'll be a big issue for them, but I do think of it in terms of being a better example for my children. So what are some things that might normally come in plastic wrap that we were able to make from scratch?
Let's see. There was pie, some apple pie. We made apple tarts. And we made tabbouleh, eggplant, fish, flank steak.
What is your favorite chip that I make?
Kale.
So did we make kale chips from scratch?
Yeah. Yes. As you can see, so far, you can make a lot of things
and
from
we made
scratch.
So good, I ate them all.
And we made our own sprouts. We did our homemade mung bean sprouts with chopped raw onion, lime juice, salt, curry, and a little bit of pepper and some other stuff. And we did a lot of those things from scratch. Even on the pie or tartlet, we made the base from scratch. We just started with flour and butter.
We made the whipped cream.
That's true. We had leftover whipped cream that grandma brought for something. And, oh, she was making fudge for Valentine's Day. So we used that whipped cream and made homemade whipped cream. That was a lot of work, wasn't it? But it was better to A, not waste the food, and B, not buy a big thing of whipped cream. Right?
Yeah.
Anything else? Did you guys notice anything else that we did to try and...
What about your lunch boxes? I heard you had some reusable...
Oh, yeah, we did have reusable lunch boxes. Instead of having plastic bags and the things that other kids have, we have metal that you can just wash or put in the dishwasher, dry, and then you have it for the next day. And we have more than one because it takes about a day to dry and wash and everything like that.
What about water at school?
Sometimes we don't take water bottles because the water fountains there at school are good. Or we'll take metal containers and we'll drink from there. And at the water bottle station, you can also refill your water. Unlike plastic, it has chemicals that if you drink it, it could give you disease or other things.
Well, what we don't like about plastic for you is that it has estrogen in it, which are sometimes mimics girl hormones. And, you know, we still don't know what the chemicals are in plastic, so we try to avoid them as much as possible.
And we're boys.
You're boys who feel like boys. Sometimes there are boys who are born in boy bodies that don't feel like boys, right? And we've met some of those, and we believe in inclusion, and that's a whole different podcast that I'm happy to work on through some other areas. But thanks guys for sharing.
Yeah.
Bye.
Nice.
Bye bye.
So the other thing that we did was encourage and say no thank you to trophies that they were giving my kids. I wrote an article on please can we stop
giving trophies for participation. A, it's not good for kids to just get a trophy for any reason, other than really winning a championship. And B, it's just plastic that ends up in the landfill. And I don't think anybody even remembers it. So my husband was the coach of my son's team, and he had to get the trophies because, you know, that's what they do. But we also encouraged parents to just bring snacks that already had their own wrappers, like oranges and bananas, and bring your own water bottle. Why are we giving our kids?
It's amazing what nature can do.
A bunch of sugar. And it was like really, really, really bananas that people do that. One of the other things that I did was I joined a few websites because my neighbors all have a million oranges on their trees or a bunch of lemons. And I'm looking at those lemons going, I want some of that. And I actually went on Nextdoor, and one of my neighbors was kind enough to give me some of his lemons. So I fermented them, but I found a bunch of websites for free cycling food and things like Olio, O-L-I-O. And I'm trying to remember that some of the other ones there were.
Yeah, there's so many great apps out there nowadays to help with recycling, upcycling. Really helpful.
So winter, and everybody's trees here in California, Southern California, seem to have a bumper crop of oranges, limes, lemons. And I'm looking at all these trees going, are you going to pick that? Because I want to eat it. And I just, you know, let my neighbors know I would love some of their limes, and I'm happy to ferment them or make marmalade for them. But there are actually apps for that. So there's ripenearme.com. There is Crop Swap, which is an app on iTunes. OlioX.com, which is OlioEX.com, or their app Olio. You can food share or upcycle, recycle, free cycle. And you can give away food for free. Like even I had an open jar of veganaise that I couldn't use because I'm allergic to soy, and some vegan bacon that someone had given me, but I couldn't eat it because it had soy and wheat. Nobody got it because nobody's in my area yet, but the more people that learn about it,
I'm hoping
we'll do that, but it saves.
Wow. These are incredible resources.
Yeah. So even with all that though, I can say I've had some challenges. My challenges were forgetting my bags. My challenges were, it was raining cats and dogs here, and there were a couple days I didn't have bags. And on top of it, you know, it was raining. So it was like, I couldn't take the cart and run through the rain with all this stuff. So there were a couple of days that I just said, screw it, I'm getting a bag, paying for it. That was my karma, right? And I had to get up my kids' umbrellas. Their umbrellas broke. And, you know, there were just things that just kept seeming to happen. It was almost like a cosmic joke that the time I'm trying to reduce my consumption and waste, like, I actually need things. And, or my kid's foot gets bigger, or, you know, we have to go to a tournament or something, you know, just things happen. One of my fire alarms broke, so I had to replace it, and it's all plastic, right? So those are the things that were disappointing and challenging, but it did keep me on my toes. One thing I didn't do is I did not share my tiny climate challenge with anyone but you, because I just didn't want, I don't know why I didn't, I should have. And that's,
well, hopefully you will now.
No, I will now, but I should have said to my husband when I was, you know, being difficult about the recycle bin or some other things, like, dude, I'm doing a climate challenge, like, back off me. Because I, you know, I seemed very militant.
Well, just tell him that you're doing this challenge for the rest of your life.
he knows that I am. Like, we talk about it, like, it's really a passion of mine to reduce things, and hashtag, why are there Amazon boxes coming to the house all the time? Like, he is the ultimate minimalist, whereas I'm, you know, definitely more of a consumer.
Can I tell you what helped me with the Amazon boxes coming all the time?
No.
I know Amazon's probably not going to like this, but I canceled my Amazon Prime account.
Did you?
I haven't bought a single thing since then.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And
because when you don't have that convenience of it coming to your house immediately, you think about things a little bit more. So then you realize, like, do I need this? Can I live without it? And I mean, I'm also in the process of moving right now. I love that Marie Kondo is out, like, talking about, you know, the importance of minimizing and asking oneself whether or not these things bring joy. But it's been really easy, I guess, for me in that respect, to minimize my purchases and also the things that I have in my life. But that was, I didn't realize that that was going to be a side effect of canceling my Amazon Prime. And the reason why I did it is because both my husband and I had an Amazon Prime account, which seemed ridiculous for two people living in the same house to have two accounts. So, but yeah, it was really interesting that all of a sudden, you know, I stopped purchasing things.
Anyway. That's helpful. We only have one Prime account for the family. I can say that. And we don't use it as much as, you know, we could, but I definitely overuse it and could do better in that regard.
So I appreciate you making that admission. I also, though, want to say how incredibly excited and proud I am of you that you completed this challenge. I know it is not easy being a mom to young children. My daughter's grown now, so I don't have all the same challenges that younger families do. So I really applaud you for taking this tiny climate challenge and sharing all these incredible insights with us.
Thank you. No, it was great to write it down, share it with others. It was really exciting to share some of my journey with others as I was looking for ways that I could improve. And hopefully I made it a little viral at my school, my children's school. And I will definitely make it viral and share with more people once it comes out on the podcast.
Well, I saw a lot of your posts coming through and I was very impressed. And I love the content that you were sharing. And just the fact that you had your own enlightened experience around this. And I could tell that you were inspired enough to share it with others. And that's something that made me really happy. I have not shared this with you before, but I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you. And thank you for encouraging me, because by you doing that, it helped me spread the love to more people and to get more messages out there. And I think that's one of the gifts, if you are so lucky to be a part of this tiny climate challenge, is maybe blog about it. I didn't share it in a way, step by step, what was going on with me, but I definitely shared what I was discovering with more people than just inside my household. And that's what makes it viral. And that's what makes it vital.
Wow. I am delighted to hear all of this. It's so true. You know, this was what Tiny Climate was all about. It was about my wanting to engage, educate, and empower people around and really to encourage people to have these climate conversations. And I can't tell you just how happy this makes me, just the fact that you've had this experience, you've shared it with all of us, and we now, you know, get to spread the gospel to everyone else on the planet.
It's fun. It's eye-opening. It's alarming. And it really gets us centered in where we can do little things that make a big difference, I think. And I love that you're doing this podcast for all of us. Thank you.
You're the best. I love you.
I love you.
Let's hug it out.
Hug it out. Can you hear all that right. Hug? Can you feel the love?
Okay. I'm super excited today to be speaking with Lori Summers. She's the Community and Municipal Relations Manager with Waste Management, and the topic of our podcast is all about minimizing waste and recycling. Lori, why don't you take a second here to introduce yourself and talk about your position with Waste Management?
Okay, thank you. And thank you for having me. My name is Lori Summers, and I do work with Waste Management, and I've been with the company a little over 30 years. And in my role now, I get to work with different cities that we contract with and develop programs, diversion programs, things that benefit the residents and the businesses that we serve, and also work with school districts and are able to do fun things like this and educate residents. In my former life, before I did this, I was actually a recycling manager for our company for 10 years. And that was really exciting as well. So I do keep track of what's going on, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Well, this is fantastic. I know I found the right subject matter expert here, and I have a lot of questions for you. Some that I've been concerned and thinking about, and others that my friends and colleagues have asked me about. So are you ready to get started?
Absolutely.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about Waste Management. You guys are a national company, right?
We're based out of Houston. We're a national company, and we work in basically districts here. So locally here, we have facilities in Oceanside and Carlsbad, and the communities that we serve, at least in the North County, are Del Mar, Carlsbad, Oceanside, part of the unincorporated areas of San Diego County.
And I should probably back up and clarify that I met you, Lori, when I served as a Sustainability Advisory Board Vice Chair for the City of Del Mar. You, in your capacity there as the Community and Municipal Relations Manager, have a relationship with the City of Del Mar because you guys, Waste Management, is their current waste hauler. Yes. So that's how we got to know one another. And I always appreciated having you as a resource and having you come in and give updates to the city on how we were doing in our efforts, how we, the City of Del Mar, was doing in our efforts to be better at recycling and meeting our zero waste goals. So I guess let's just talk about the basics. Why is it important to recycle?
Well, I think it's important to recycle. For one, you want to find the most beneficial use for materials first before they go into landfill. And so the recycling material that goes in, a lot of those items, the reason they are being recycled is they can be reused or made into different products. And when we do that, we are putting less materials in landfill, because as soon as any material goes into the landfill, it has no use at all anymore. Basically, it's going to be covered in the ground. So it definitely helps our environment and makes it where we don't have to make things out of virgin material, and we can use it out of items that have already been used.
So one of the open-ended questions that I have is, you know, what can we as individuals do to be better stewards of our environment? And it sounds like minimizing our use of consumables is first and foremost.
Right. Well, I think you get back to the, you know, the basics of what you always heard was the reduce, reuse, recycle. They've even added a little more R's to it, you know, repair, meaning, you know, if you've got something, repair it. And rot stands really is the stands for like composting or, you know, especially your food scraps, which are a big focus now, to get diversion even higher for the state of California. So, you know, reducing the amount of packaging that you get into. So if you're buying, let's say, oranges or apples, you know, buy them loose, don't buy them bagged. That's just one example. Reuse, finding another way to use an item or even donate is another way of reusing, because there's other people who may need that kind of item that you're not using. And then, of course, recycling. For Waste Management, we have curbside programs that you can put your recycling at the curb, and we take it to our recovery facilities where we sell that material, and that's what goes into making new products. So I think, you know, if you just remember, instead of just the 3 R's, the 5 R's, ways to be good stewards of the environment.
Great advice. Great calls to action. I actually did have heard that there were additional R's that have been added to the list. So thank you for illuminating us to what those are. And I have to admit, I was a little embarrassed that when I started this podcast, I have thankfully great guidance. My podcast wizard here, John Beathen, put together an awesome list of all the things that I should purchase, you know, headphones, microphones, a mixer, and all this stuff came in so much packaging. And I thought, isn't this ironic? Here I'm starting this podcast to try, you know, to be help to inspire people to be better stewards of the environment. And here I've created all this new waste with this new project that I just started. So maybe let's talk about, like, you know, what do we do with all this? And maybe let's take a more broad look. I've heard about that there's a new national SWORD policy, and I was hoping you could explain what that is. And that's a policy, I guess, started by China or enacted by China. So maybe you could explain that to us, and then we can kind of drill down from there.
Sure. So that story is actually started decades ago. But basically, in 2013, at first, China had what they call the green fence. And what that is they were telling the global market is, you know, we're not taking anything from you. We're getting too much trash in it. Just be aware that, you know, we'll, you know, that we can't take it anymore. But really in 2016 is when, and they always give them these, you know, these cute little names, National Sword. But basically what the National Sword policies that China enacted was to focus on the quality of the imports of what they were receiving. Long ago, China had, you know, they would accept anything. They were looking quantity over quality, and they accepted a lot of things. So a lot of the markets, a lot of the global markets, waste management, everywhere was selling their material to China because they were paying a good price, and they were saying, just give us all that you can. Then as China started getting their economy in a better way, then they were saying, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, some of the material that you're sending over to us, we really can't use, and it really, we can't move it, and we don't want it anymore. Well, when you open up that floodgate, it's hard to pull back. And so they kind of made that intentions clear of like, well, we're not going to take it anymore, and we're going to ban certain materials that we don't need anymore. And that really shook up the recycling industry, as you can well imagine. We're used to saying anything that's plastic, oh yeah, put it in. They'll take everything, and they just drew a line saying, nope, we won't take it anymore. So what that has caused is for other markets to open up in other countries, and actually in the United States, we're finding more and more recyclers, domestic markets opening up. But what that is they used to have a threshold of if there was about 10% contamination or non-recyclables that they would receive, they would go ahead and they would accept that material. And then it went down to 5%. But what it is now is 0.5%. So if you can imagine you're recycling a big sea container, if you've ever heard, you know, the slow boat over to China, that's a lot of how everything gets over there in these big sea containers. And they would open up one bale of material, and if it was 0.5% or more of contamination, they basically blocked the entire load and turned it around, and it would have to go back to where it came from. So what the industry has been having to do is to slow down sort lines, add more labor, add better technology to clean it up, so that not only China would take it, but the other markets that opened up wanted the material as quality as what China was saying it was going to take.
Wow. So that it's quite a significant shift. It's created a lot of confusion for us here in the United States. And I guess I'm just curious, how has that changed? Are we still able to recycle everything that we were recycling before? There's different numbers on the bottom of our plastic containers. I guess I'm just curious what plastic is recyclable or is currently being accepted by waste management as a result of this?
Sure. And that's a good question. And plastics have always been the very confusing recyclable, and it has been for many years. So basically we try to get down to the basics. You know, we used to, you know, send a laundry list out as education going, here are all the things you can recycle, and here's the short list of what you couldn't. And that got confusing. So the simple message is we want you to recycle all your bottles, cans, paper, and cardboard. Those are really your household items that you're putting in. So that can be anything from your soda or water bottles to your shampoo bottles, containers that had margarine or, you know, yogurt, anything that has the plastic there, 1 through 7, we are still taking those. Some of those numbers have a little not as strong markets, and they're a little inconsistent at times, but we are still accepting all of those materials and recycling all those materials. So the second thing of this is more what not to put in are any liquids or food soiled items. Those are things that we can't take. So if you have plastic or paper or cardboard that has food residue on it, that needs to go in the trash. That would be a non-acceptable item. And probably the last one and the biggest one would be plastic bags. When they are in a curbside program, like we pick up at the curb, they're dirty, they get torn, they get kind of clogged in our machinery and can shut the whole plant down if it gets too bad. and what we want to focus on now, but I know a lot of people do this, so hopefully we can change the behavior there, is when you put your recycling in your cart or your container, we want that recycling in there loose. Don't bag your recycling, because here all your good efforts of collecting recycling, if you actually put it in the bag, that bag is a contaminant. Mm-hmm. So basically recycle all bottles, cans, and paper, cardboard. Don't put food or liquids in it, and no plastic bags. And hopefully that's an easy tip to remember.
Wow, this is great information. I actually have a question about shredded paper, because I heard that that does have to be placed in a plastic bag in order to be recycled. Is that true?
But you're talking about shredded paper?
Yes.
Yeah. So shredding paper is a little difficult in a curbside application like we do. And it really, if you're going to shred paper, we prefer that it be in a paper bag, because that paper bag will go through and it will be contained in that paper bag. If you had shredding in the plastic bag, one, the plastic bag really is the contaminant now, two, but you think of all those fine fibers that are happening with shredding, that's really hard for us to capture into recycling, because it goes through the conveyor belts, you have air, it floats around, and the fibers that make up that are kind of small, they really have a hard time recycling that material. So the shredding, you know, you could use that for other applications. You could do that if you're packing packages, use that instead of foam peanuts or anything like that, or use a document shredding company who will shred that material for you, and they will take it to be recycled, but it doesn't go over a sort line like it does for when we collect it as curbside, and then they can bale it, and that works out better.
Great advice and good to know, and I will definitely be sharing this info with my husband, who is the one who told me that he thought that all shredded paper had to be bagged in a plastic bag. So I'm glad to hear that, because I am trying to minimize.
Well, that's how we used to tell people.
Okay.
We used to tell people that to do that, and it just was not working out. So we really have had to change that message. But, you know, a lot of people are composting now, too. If you've got shredded material, that's easily put into composting.
So true. Yes. And we do have a small compost. So this is great. Okay. I'm super excited. Thank you. Now you guys are national. You've just shared with us things that can be recycled. Is that true nationwide, or is this just for California or Southern California only?
No, if we stick to the basics, it's pretty much nationwide.
Okay.
California seems to, in Washington, I guess the West Coast, you know, we have a lot more opportunities here, but still it's the same materials going to the same market. So they have to be, you know, at the same quality everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Can we also recycle the orange juice cartons that have like that waxy coating?
Yeah, the cartons that you see that come for like soup and juices, that type of stuff, the Carton Council has made markets open for those materials. So we do collect those materials. I guess the cartons, what we don't want on there are ones that are very waxy. So like if you put your fingernails down the side of it and scraped it, you know, and if there was wax that was coming off, that's a little bit too waxy. If you try to process that, just think of oil and water, how they don't get along in the recycling process. The same thing, the oil from the wax and the paper from the product don't recycle together. But the soups type of cartons that are coming out now, and the beverage containers that are in cartons, those are acceptable.
Okay, good to know. So at Tiny Climate here, we're all about inspiring people to reduce their carbon footprint or their carbon emissions. And I'm just curious if you could speak to whether or not recycling plastic or other items helps us reduce our carbon emissions. And if so, how?
Well, and I'm going to have to read this, because this was one thing that I didn't really know. But what I was told, plastic doesn't produce methane in the landfill, but the environmental benefit of recycling is basically the reduction of the carbons that occur when the plastic is recycled into new products. Anything that is cutting down on making, you know, having to make virgin material, producing that, is going to have a reduction in the carbon that we use.
That's an excellent explanation. Thank you. I'm curious about how our plastic bands and our styrofoam bands, an ordinance that I helped write at the City of Del Mar, how it's impacting the waste recycling stream. Are you seeing less of these items now that these bans are going through?
I think between the bans that are going through in a lot of cities and the education that's going out there on, you know, what materials that we've been seeing that are contaminants and education on it, we are seeing a slight reduction of those types of materials in our facilities. On average, we used to get about 25% of the materials that would go through our MRFs, what we call material recovery facilities, was about 25%. And probably on average now, it's down to about 21%. So I think all of those things have made that dial move down.
Mm-hmm. And is waste management supportive of that? Because you guys, I mean, you make a business out of recycling these materials.
Right. And so some of those materials, like the polystyrene foam trays and the plastic bags, that type of stuff, we couldn't recycle it through our curbside program. So, of course, we want to see less of that material come through there. When it comes to straws, that really isn't significant as much. Of course, they're small, you know, and a lot of times they would go down the sort line to what would end up being landfill because they were just too small. But anything that we can get pulled out of that curbside stream that is a non-recyclable at this time is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have just a couple more questions. One of them is the topic of environmental justice. There's, you know, a lot of concern that some of these facilities are in communities where they're being adversely impacted. And I guess I was just curious, could you speak to whether or not there's any kind of hazardous exposure to living near a recycling plant?
I don't think that there is. We don't have hazardous materials that go through our facilities. We use very little any kind of chemicals or anything. It's not even there in the process of recycling. So other than that, I don't have too much more information, but it has never been an issue.
Good to know. Lastly, I guess I just wanted to throw it over to you to mention if there's anything else that you want the public to know about recycling, anything that we haven't covered today.
No, I think we've covered it. So I just be mindful of what you're recycling. The first thing you should think of is really that source reduction. Do you need what you're buying, or can you buy it with less packaging? You know, try to give yourself a smaller footprint of your own. But those items that you do have to get rid of, see if there's a reuse to it, a donation to it, before you put it in the recycling. And at the very end, if there's nothing you can do with it but put it in your trash, then that will go to the landfill. Because as soon as it goes to the landfill, there is no more sorting. It's going to go into the ground.
Wow. Lori, this has been super insightful. I really appreciate your time and just everything that you shared with us today. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but the way that my podcast is structured is I always have a subject matter expert. So that's you. So I really appreciate you. And then I have a tiny climate challenger or a participant that comes on, and then I challenge them to do some kind of an effort to help reduce their carbon footprint. And so you're actually being matched up with my best friend. Her name's April, and her challenge was to minimize her use of plastics while she was eating out for the week or with her kids. She has two small kids, and they're school age, and so trying to minimize their waste in their school lunches. You know, she's pretty conscientious, But, you know, like most of us, I think we're all challenged with the amount of plastic that just comes at us in our daily life, whether we want it or not. I walked over here to do this interview to John Beathen's podcast studio, and I picked up some plastic bottle caps along the way, and I also ate a little snack. And so I have the wrapper and I'm like, what do I do with this? Can I recycle it? You know, I think I was one of those people that was just wish cycling. You've heard of that, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I was,
go
ahead.
I'm sorry. I think the message is now, you know, when in doubt, throw it out, you know, if it's got grease. I mean, the big thing we always get questions on, you know, are all the pizza boxes. Everyone loves to have their pizza. And, you know, the top part of the box usually is pretty clean, you know, no residue of food or oils, but the bottom sure is. So if you're the great recycler that we know you are, especially if you're listening to this podcast, you can tear that box in half, put the clean side in the recycling and put the oiled food stained in the trash.
I definitely do that. People think I'm crazy. I also recycle the little cardboard off the toilet paper roll and the paper towel rolls. And also like my tissue boxes, after I'm done using the tissue, I'll tear out the plastic and then just put the cardboard into the recycling. So I try to be, you know, recycle as much as I possibly can, but I'm sure I've gone overboard sometimes on some wish cycling there.
Well, my friends think I get crazy, go overboard too, but they know me now and they always check their recycle in their trash cans in their homes when they know I'm coming over to make sure that they're doing it right.
That's fantastic. So you do some little personal audits there on the side, waste audits.
Without meaning to, it's just second nature.
I guess I do. I just have one final question that just popped up. And I'm just curious, like at Waste Management, when you guys are in your staff meetings and you're talking about how to do your jobs better, be better, what is it that like the public should know or needs to do to help you do a better job at what you do?
Oh gosh, that's a tough question. You know, we have great customers and they do a remarkable job. So not much. I think if everyone just knows that we're there, we're gonna pick up your stuff. Just being on time of taking your materials out. Be mindful. Don't put the trash in the recycling. But leave the rest to us, and we'll take care of it.
Awesome, Lori, you've been a fantastic guest. I'm so grateful to you. Take care, Lori.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
I'm Mayella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.